All right, it is 10 a.m. Oh, actually, no, it's 10:04 a.m. on Tuesday, July 19th, 2022. We are meeting here in room 303 for commission meeting, opening with a pledge, and I will lead us in that pledge.
All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, opportunity for public comment. All right, seeing none, we'll move on to business and action items. First up, Children's Justice Center, Director Tanya Perkins. Tanya.
Good morning, how are you?
Very good.
So what you have before you is the new scope of work contract between the state of Utah and the Davis County government for the Children's Justice Center program in the amount of $207,398. And the original amount was $200,398, but we got an additional $7,000 from the AG's office that covers the grant that we lost through the National Children's Alliance. And we received that because we are an accredited center. So we're happy to have that. And this contract is good for 5 years, and it does have the new scope of work. There's a few small changes, and if you have any questions about that, you can let me know. But for the most part, I think that Neil has reviewed that, and we're okay on that. So
the dates begin July 1st, 2022, and go to June 30th of 2027, looks like.
Yes.
Yeah. Terrific. Great work, and that's wonderful to be given a little more to make up for the other, huh?
Yes, definitely.
Good, Tanya. All right, I move approval.
Second, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And if you haven't already, someone is reaching out to you from Clearfield High School. Did you hear about that yet?
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes.
So I gave them a tour yesterday.
Good.
And we should find out in a couple days if we will be selected as their charity, as the beneficiary of their fundraiser. So
their student
thank
fundraiser.
Thank you for sending them to
us. Pretty cool. Clearfield High School every single year does a significant fundraiser, and their students are... It's run by the students and responded by the students.
Yes, I
donated
was very
by
impressed
the students.
With them.
Yes.
It really was.
Me too. Me too. That's wonderful. I'm glad that you were able to show them yesterday. Thank you, Tanya.
All right, moving on to item two, Clerk Auditor's Office, Curtis Koch.
Thank you, Commissioners. You have for your consideration today two interlocal agreements with Fruit Heights and West Bountiful. This is to place video cameras on their property in order to view or have cameras on our drop boxes for the elections and ballots. And so this is bringing us into compliance with the new law that was passed in the last session requiring video surveillance on all drop boxes.
Okay, I move approval.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Curtis, did you give terms?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to community and economic development. I'll take that one. Approval of contract with USA Gymnastics for trampoline and power tumbling regional competition, receivable in the amount of $4,281.58, beginning 2/2/2023 to 2/4/2023. Approval of the contract with USA Gymnastics for trampoline and power tumbling regional competition, receivable in the amount of $4,281.58, beginning 2/23/2023 to 2/25/2023. Next item is a contract with USA Wrestling for the six different wrestling tournaments, which include the Western States Preseason Championship, Turkey Tussle, Battle Royale, High School Christmas Clash Duels, and the Salt Lake Slam. Receivable in this amount of $18,787.20, beginning 10/20/2022 to 12/31/2022. Sure, it's going to have a lot of Christmas bashes.
Those are fun names. We should pause for just a second to really appreciate those.
Item number six is a contract with the U.S. Ballroom Foundation for the Utah Classic Ballroom Competition, receivable in the amount of $4,383.55, beginning 2/15/2023 to 2/18/2023.
And I was just curious about that one. I guess they do it on the hard floor that is the temporary.
I think they probably put a dance floor out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then number seven, approval for the contract with the United Sprint Association for Regional Cheer Competition. Receivable in the amount of $3,779.94, beginning 1/25/2023 to 1/28/2023. And I'll move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Moving on to our health department, Director Brian Hatch with a nice shave and cut. Look like you trimmed up, cleaned up.
Yeah, it's a little shorter.
It's shorter.
A little shorter.
Yeah, I got a haircut.
I'm just waiting for the day that there's no white shirt and tie, because that's the indication that the pandemic is truly gone.
Andy, when you work it, wake up with bedhead. It's time for a haircut.
Brian has reminded us that we are now endemic, meaning COVID will always be with us. It'll just be accepted.
White shirts forever. Now, this is the monkeypox shirt.
We switched over yet to the other one? No. Neil's not going there. Neil's not having it today. The next one. All right, Brian, take us away.
We were on a roll for there for a minute.
We were.
Before you use approval of an amendment with the Utah Department of Health and Human Services, this is our EPIC contract. This is just increasing our funds receivable in the amount of $24,030, beginning 7/1/2022, running through 6/30/2023. This money was given to us to work on breastfeeding issues in the WIC program. So. Cross over there to help encourage breastfeeding.
Great. Thank you. I move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Good to see you.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to Human Resources, Director Chris Bone. Chris. No, sorry. You're
Rick Higby.
Yeah, Deputy Director filling in. Chris is on vacation this week.
Yes.
Thank you, Commissioners. I appreciate being here and going over these three items. The first one is a URS agreement. It's our contract to pay a portion of retirement contributions for public safety tier two employees. It's just specifically that group. There's a provision that there's a employee contribution, and there's the option that the employer can pick up that contribution instead of requiring the employees to pay it themselves, and which we did. The commission approved that, I think, 2 years ago in 2020. That was originally approved. So at this time, it's just an increase to that rate. It was 2.59%, or sorry, it was 2.27 originally. It's now going up to 2.59, so a 0.32% increase in that retirement contribution.
You want to do the others, and we'll consider
okay,
them
sure,
all together.
I'll move on to the next one. Okay, the next one is our contract with NFP, and that's what we've been working on for a few months now to start a compensation and benefits study. So they are the consultant that bid for this project. They came in the lowest bid and just under our budget. The last time a compensation study was done was in 2016. They actually are the same vendor who did that study for us back then as well. So they're a local group out of Lehigh. And so they'll study market changes. A lot that's been going on in our compensation market recently especially. So. We're anxious to get this going and have a compensation and a benefits study done. Okay, and then the next one, the last one I have is an agreement with Applicant Pro. They're a company who will provide an applicant tracking system for us, as well as a module and a piece that will do onboarding for new employees. This went out to RFP and was approved as well. They also came in just under our budgeted amount. This system needs to be replaced due to what we've been using currently is the PERS system, which is going to be going away soon. So we need to replace what we're doing in PERS and have a new applicant tracking system, which will kind of bring us up to modern era and help us to be more productive in processing applications as well as new employees coming on board.
That's great. So let's see the... Number nine was payable $16,500 beginning July 1st, 2022. Number 10, payable in the amount of $58,850 beginning July 19th of 2022. And then number 11, payable in the amount of $21,672 beginning July 19th of 2022. And I move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right,
thank you, Rick.
Library Director Josh Johnson.
Yes, so this is Josh Johnson. I have a couple of contracts. The first one is for a software to manage scheduling library meeting rooms, and also it's a bit of an event planning software. It's as we reviewed all of them, it's actually pretty impressive. It should automate quite a bit of stuff that we already do through staff members, so we're hoping there's a little bit of a savings that way. But it's also much improved for patrons. Right now we have a little bit of a homegrown system. It'll be much more robust than the one we have. It is for $32,500 over the course of 5 years, which after some implementations, it's about $5,000 a year. So.
Great. So beginning July 14th, 2022 to July 13th, 2027. Good.
Next one is a grant from the Allen and K. Blood Library Fund. They, in the 1990s, Allen and K. Blood set up a fund that benefits the residents of Kaysville through the library that serves those residents. As they joined our system, we became a beneficiary of the fund. We're about the only ones that can get the money, so we do not quite annually request funding, and we work with the Blood Trust Fund board, who is also the Kaysville City Board. And so as we work with them, they grant us money when we explain to them what we'd like it for, and then we report back to them. So this this document just sort of, they wanted to do a reimbursement, so the document makes sure that we get reimbursed when we purchase materials for that purpose.
And is it just for that branch?
It's to benefit Kaysville residents. That's been interpreted tightly or loosely depending on who's on the board of the trustees, but that essentially it's for Kaysville Library. Occasionally they'll grant us money for ebooks which benefit Kaysville City residents, but everybody else can use as well. One of the stipulations is that it needs to be housed in the library, so because of that we have a way of showing what's been purchased with the fund in our ebooks as well, just so that we have a way of housing them together and honoring Allen and K. Blood. So,
yeah, that was one of the things, wasn't it, when Kaysville was trying to decide about joining the system.
Right. So that's $20,000 receivable. According to the contract, that needs to be spent by October and reimbursed by November. So.
And does it happen every year?
It doesn't happen every year. We can only draw on the funds that are increased. We can't pull on the principal. So we try to be really careful about what we request and when.
Okay, great. So receivable in the amount of $20,000 beginning March 17th, 2022 to December 31st, 2022. Thanks for all the explanation, and I move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Before we move on to consent items, any from the congressional offices, Lisa Ross Kelly, any word from Congressman Moore, any updates? Okay, sounds good.
All right, so the consent item, we have the July 19th, 2022 indigent abatement register. I move that we deny the application so that we can hold the hearings.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I move we recess to our Board of Equalization.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Curtis.
Commissioners, you have for your consideration on your property tax register for July 19th, 2022. Under auditor adjustments, you have a report with various recommended denials. Under corrections, you have two veteran exemption tax abatements for the year 2021 that are recommended for your approval. Under assessor adjustments, you have corrections, assessor-initiated corrections, report with various corrections totaling $935,941, and that's the difference in taxable value associated with that report. And that is your property tax register for July 19th, 2022.
Very good. I move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I move we reconvene commission meeting.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. The green. Commissioner Kamala.
You know, not a lot more today to update other than what we've covered in our public meetings already. And I just have been impressed, I'll just say, with the Davis Journal covering some of the news for our residents. I know they did a nice article just barely about the changes that are underway at the Legacy Events Center, which will increase what it does for the entire county, and also taking care of the equestrian and the dirt floor events in a facility that will just stay dirt floor and be sustainable over at the Utah State Extension. I just thought it was a really great article, and I appreciate we're heading to our national convention of counties across the United States, and I've attended at least two meetings at those national events where they talk about the importance of sharing information to the public accurately. And there was a raise of hands in one of those meetings where they said how many of the counties attending in this room still have any sort of media that focuses on your county's news. And less than half had hands up in that room. So kind of a big deal. We do what we can to push it out too, but I appreciate accurate reporting that happens for our county. It's a good and an important thing.
Curtis Neal.
No comment, thank you.
All right, so this last week we had our Great Salt Lake Advisory meeting. Okay, it's a little bit shocking. So we had a geologist and some of those scientists get up and talk about the cyclicalness of the lake. And in the year 1400, the lake did go dry for 65 years. And in the year 1700, it did come up into where the fairgrounds are at in Salt Lake City. So it does ebb and flow. And so that, which makes me concerned, like, are we at the start of a mega drought where we could go 60 years without really any water? And my neighbor, you know, reminds me that the Indians migrated and you know, they moved when they needed to move. And I'm like, please don't start a drought year of a mega drought. And I think that we just need to start thinking outside the box. We did do big work projects back in the day. In the 20s and 30s, we did mega projects. It wouldn't be hard to have mega projects again of bringing in outswerf streams up in the upper basin areas of Montana and North Dakota and those areas and bringing it over to our basin, or even a pipeline from the ocean into the Great Salt Lake. It just needs my little rant and little box here, soapbox here. And to the Congress's office, we could use some money to start thinking outside the box. And how do we can bring water and everything else back into this basin area when we have these cyclical years?
Montana just had a record snow year, by the way. So
lots of water. So in those rare years, divert it our way. Bring it on down. We just have noticed that we're moving into stage one fire restrictions, which is no open fires of any kind except within established public facilities and approved campgrounds, picnic areas. Smoking, except when in enclosed vehicles, trailer, or building, or develop recreational sites. Discharging or using any fireworks, tracer ammunition, or any pyrotechnic devices, including exploding targets. Cutting, welding, or grinding metals in any area or dry visitation. And operating a motorcycle, chainsaw, ATV, or other small internal combustion engine without approved working spark esterator. So anyhow, we are on stage one fire restrictions around here. It's very dry and tender out there. We'll probably be moving up into other stages of fire restrictions here soon enough, too. So with that, this meeting is adjourned.